Hey, everybody, and welcome to Back to School, where learning and liberty meet. This is Kathy Wells, and tonight we're going to be talking about a book. I love books. I'm reading so many books all the time, but I'm going to be talking about a book tonight that is free online. My favorite books are all free online. I also want to tell you, I started a new blog, and I started a blog because where do I start? Oh my goodness. Have I even talked to you about C-Scope? I think I have. C-Scope is this hideous curriculum / scope and sequence monstrosity that a bunch of superintendents in the state of Texas have come up with to further dumb down our children and frustrate our teachers. Yay, yay. And it's awful. And so I got involved in that fight just because I love kids and education, and you know that if you listen to me. So I got involved in that and managed to tick some people off along the way, which is, by the way, my specialty. So if you are having a really good day and need to be ticked off, just call me, because I'm sure I'll say something that will, you know, mess with all your paradigms and just make you really angry and feel inadequate, because that's my gifting. So anyway, so I was investigating the C-Scope stuff and ran into a woman who I wound up doing a radio show with out of Austin, which is still not uploaded as an archive, which I can't figure out, and my mom needs to listen to it, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, so every time I do something like this, I do more preparation, more reading, which my brain feels like it's at capacity, but I know it's not. And one of the things that I came across is a book by Samuel Blumenfeld. And actually, I had run across Samuel Blumenfeld when looking at tutoring and things like that, because he's written a lot about teaching and tutoring. And I came across a book called Is Public Education Necessary? Now, you know my opinion on that. I'm a libertarian. No, I don't think it's necessary. As a matter of fact, I think it's wrong. I think it's constitutionally wrong. And what we're looking at right now pretty much proves that I'm right. It's a really bad idea. However, I won't say I'm right. I'll say our founding fathers were wise and right, and I am in agreement with them. Anyway, so the thing about this book is I picked it up just kind of like, okay, what's in here? I can't even remember exactly, you know, how I was searching for something on Google, and it came up on Google Books, and there was some phrase in it I had been looking for. I think it had something to do with communism. And the line that I read intrigued me so much that I went and found it online and printed out the entire, like, 200-page book in tiny, tiny print. And then I said, well, this is crazy. I'm trying to read it, and I couldn't put it down. It was so good. And so I bought it in real print. But anyway, the point is that Samuel Blumenfeld does something in such a concise way, in such a focused way, that I have not read in Iserby or John Taylor Gatto, either one. He focuses on a very small time period of American history. Basically, the inception of the very first public school, right up until about John Dewey. It's only about 50 years, right? Or maybe 80. And I haven't finished the book yet, so I'm not going to tell you exactly how much he focuses on. But there's so much in there that was just mind-blowing that even I, with all the reading I had done, had not put together. So let me tell you sort of the gist of the first part of it. Okay, first of all, as you know, because you've heard me talk about John Taylor Gatto and literacy, we had almost 100% literacy in this country before any type of public schooling. All right, so there is a myth that if we don't have public schooling, we won't have education. There is a myth that if we don't have, you know, federal funding for roads, we won't have roads. There's just all these crazy, you know, ideas like, nothing ever got done if there wasn't a government, right? Well, actually more got done and for cheaper. So that's basically what Blumenfeld is talking about. He talks about so many pertinent things in here, y'all. It is totally worth reading, even if you have to read the online version. Again, it's Blumenfeld, Blumenfeld, Is Public Education Necessary? And clearly his answer to that is no. All right, but the book is not real. That's just a side note in the book. The book is really about the history of education in America. And I'm going to tell you something that's just totally going to shock you, right? The first people advocating for public education were Unitarians, which meant basically that they broke from traditional Christianity. And they basically said, you know what, if you've got a meanie pants God, we don't want him. we don't like him. And we're going to make God in our image. And we're going to say, God is really nice and good and loves everyone. And, you know, we've got universal reconciliation and, you know, God loves us all. And that the best thing that we can do, the way that we are righteous, is by being do-gooders. We do good to others. Now, you know, there's a lot of that in Christian doctrine about loving one another. But of course, there's the overarching justice of God, which was not over Unitarianism. Well, come to find out, the Unitarians basically take over Harvard. Hello. I mean, goodness, can we get any crazier? They basically gave rise to a secular humanist point of view, which now dominates our culture. They believed, along with Rousseau and so many others, that man is not sinful, that man is corrupted by his society, and that if you can reform society, then you can reform man. I mean, this is just, you know, it's hard to say that this wasn't intentionally evil, just really kind of just stupid thoughts, you know, I'm not trying to demean, I'm just saying, you know, if you've had children, if you've been around people ever, you know, this is not true. It was like really, really super idealistic. So crazy. Okay. This is the deal though. This is the real deal right here. Unitarians weren't getting very far, but along comes this guy. His name is Robert Owen. He's from Scotland and he is the father of socialism. And really, the founder of communism, essentially, even before Marx. Marx and Engels gave a nod to Robert Owen. And I knew that from reading The Naked Communist by Skousen, which is a book I'm also reading right now, which is very good, by the way. Really recommend it. And I think that one's free online, too. You know people love you when they put stuff free online, right? So this guy Owen had started this commune in Scotland that, from my understanding, failed. So, of course, he wanted to export that because that's what communists do. They take really bad ideas that they have and export them to everyone else to spread their really bad ideas. So Robert Owen started a commune here and that failed. And then he decided what the problem was is that you can't work with adults who've already been raised outside of communism. You have to work with kids who've been raised inside of communism if you really want your commune to really work, because they haven't been spoiled by their environment yet. So he began infiltrating the workers' unions and pushing, along with the Unitarians, they were sort of working together for public education. Now, the only problem with that is that there was no problem with public education. In Boston, 96% of children were attending school, and there were only 4% who didn't, right? And they could attend free schools if they wanted to, but the parents just didn't want them to. So you had basically universal literacy. You had a private run education, private schools, that were great. So there really wasn't a problem. There was no need for public education, but the Unitarians, being of the mind that this was the way they were going to change the world because they had to have something since they deviated from traditional Orthodox Christianity, this was their project. This is what they were going to do. And Robert Owen also had this as his little communist project. And so Owen started infiltrating the workers' unions and making that the main point that they were going to push public school and public education for everyone. Here's a great quote in here. Excuse me. When man creates God, he reverses the divine process and ends up worshiping himself. I think that's a good way to describe secular humanism and Unitarianism. Okay, so, oh, and then there's some political stuff that went on, and then it talks about how all these rich Unitarians married one another and gained a lot of political clout and stole money from the Calvinist church and blah, blah, blah. Really interesting book, actually. And anyway, the people, this is a problem. The people, even after the Unitarians really got, you know, laws passed for public schools, they didn't want public schools. They didn't like public schools. They preferred the private schools. So the Unitarians wanted mandatory public schooling for everybody, even those who could afford private school. And the reason is because they were social engineers. Remember when I was reading Bastiat to you and I talked so much about social engineers? Well, that's what these guys were. They were social engineers. They wanted to experiment on society, on children. they had an idea in their minds of what the best kind of person was, and they wanted to experiment. And your kids are the great experiment. And listen, folks, I'm going to tell you that is still true to this day. And if you think it is not, you are kidding yourself. It is absolutely true to this day. Okay, so, oh, wow, there's so much in here, y'all. Just could I ever read it all? And then, okay, so then we come to this problem. So nobody's really using these public schools because they don't like them. So they determine that the problem is the teachers. They need to train the teacher. The state not only needs to be in charge of education, but also needs to train the teachers, because the teachers at the private school were outstripping the ones in the public school. So that's where people wanted to go. So then they decided that if they could get control of training all teachers, then they could, it's all about, this is what socialism is. It's about leveling the playing field. It's about taking from you and giving to someone who has less, whether it's intellectually, whether it's monetarily. And that is true for C-SCOPE as well, by the way. So anyway, so they said, oh, what we need is teachers' colleges. And this is what they said about them. The teachers' college will be an engine to sway the public sentiment, the public morals, and the public religion more powerful than any other in the possession of government. And let me just read that again and tell you that truer words were never spoken. The teacher's school would be an engine to sway the public sentiment, the public morals, and the public religion more powerful than any other in the possession of government. And I will say, as I have always said, I love teachers. I have teachers that were very near and dear to my heart that I love deeply. But if you went to school to become a teacher, you were part of a machine that was set up 200 years ago to do to education what has been done to it. And you need to start getting out of that institutional mindset. You need to start reading the things that I've told you about that I've listed on this blog, which I didn't give you the name for. Sorry. It's, let me tell you that real quick. I forgot. The blog name is backtoschoolamerica.blogspot.com. That's the name. Back to School America. All one word. It's all lowercase, but I don't think it matters. .blogspot.com. And then he goes on in this book, pick up where I was talking about. He goes on in this book to talk about the Prussian system and how much these guys, the Unitarians and the socialists, admired the Prussian system. And I love this little quote right here. It is ironic that there were no teachers' colleges in existence. Even the worst common schools could teach children to read very well, and illiteracy was a rarity. Today, with more teachers' colleges and stricter certification requirements, functional illiteracy among students is greater than ever. And this book was written in 85, so I'm sure we've slipped even more since then. All right. Okay, what else do I want to say about this book before I start griping about current events, which you know I'm going to do. It's just going to happen. So basically, all these people just wanted, they had an overarching design. They wanted the world to live in utopian peace and love. And John Taylor Gatto talks about that a lot in his book. And it was just, oh, this is the part where they get into talking about Robert Owen. Now, Robert Owen was a piece of work, okay? He hated God. He was an atheist, as are all communists, which is why we're in the mess that we're in today. You know, as far as I'm concerned, you can be agnostic. You can whatever. You have to acknowledge something higher than you, that there's a law outside yourself that overarches all civilizations. Because if not, then you're a law unto yourself, and then you're in trouble, which is basically where all modern education comes from. John Dewey was a secular humanist. I mean, when you put secular humanists at the top of the rung, you're just in trouble. I mean, that's it. Okay, so anyway, this guy Robert Owen is doing all this stuff is crazy. Okay, so let me just skip around a little bit because I've already been talking for 15 minutes. And let me say, oh, this is great. So he has a son. This guy has a son, Robert Owen, Dale Owen Jr., right? And he and this chicky poo named Frances Wright, she was a radical woman reformer. They get together and start trying to change things. And they believe some really neato spedito stuff like this. The Owenites wanted children to be separated from their parents as early as age 2 and placed in boarding schools. Parents could visit the children at suitable hours, but could not interfere with or interrupt the rules of the institution. Okay, just could you, I mean, these are real people saying real things. It seems just crazy, doesn't it? But let me tell you what I've learned, and this is really what I want to get across to you after reading the communism book and reading this book. Here's the deal, people. Here's the deal, pickle. communism in the form of socialism right now is alive and well in this country. It is running our schools. It is running our government. And you don't even know all the stuff around you that came out of communism. For instance, this guy, Robert Dale Owen, he ran for the Indiana State Legislature, won, and succeeded in getting public education put into Indiana. One guy, right? So don't you ever think you don't make a difference, because you do. Then, oh, I forgot to tell you about that guy. Okay, I'll tell you about him in a minute. Then he succeeds in starting the Smithsonian Institution. What? You mean our national museum, the Smithsonian, was started by a communist? Uh-huh. Yes, ma'am. Or yes, sir. It surely was. And let me tell you something else, too. MIT, started by a communist. The reason why, he tells in this book. Let's see where I've got my little note on that. It was very much, because education is no longer about religion, right? And it can't be, remember, this is all empirical. It's all, what can I see, feel, hear, touch? It's all, very much about the senses. So science was the big deal. And where did I make a note on that? Okay. The social sciences, very important. Social science. So science became a major, major focus of communism. Now, am I saying that God is anti-science? No, that's what they said. Am I saying that science is bad? No. What I'm saying is what we've done, pardon me, essentially, is take out humanities and literature-based type science and a lot of literature and reading and replaced it with this empirical science, which is very anti-theological and anti-God. I'm not saying God is anti-science or that your belief system is anti-science or that they're opposed to one another at all. I'm saying that there was a deliberate push to overemphasize science by communists, and it succeeded and is still succeeding in our schools today, and it's a major problem and part of what's going on that is so bad. Now, I've marked up this book with all sorts of exclamation points and oh my goodnesses. So let me read what I've marked up here. Okay, Rogers, who was one of the cohorts here, wrote 8 essays, the last of which appeared in June 1832. The essays outlined a program of progressive education a good 70 years before John Dewey, quote, originated it all. As in the progressive education of the future, Rogers advocated a stronger emphasis on the natural sciences and a lesser emphasis on language studies. And honey, we are there. It is not without significance that America's leading scientific university, MIT, should have been founded by a socialist working in concert with Harvard Unitarians determined to remake the character of man. See, they really, folks, they really think they're God. They really do. Not even God attempts to remake the character of man. It's not possible. He tried it with Noah. You know the stories. It didn't work. Our character, our nature is what it is. And these people think they're God and they think they're higher than God. And I mean, I never really looked at this as that spiritual. Okay, I didn't. I was just like, well, they're kind of crazy. But now I see it. It's very spiritual. The fight that we're fighting is for souls. It really is. It's for our humanity in the form of our divinity. Because when you start with an educational system that even before John Dewey, who was a secular humanist, when you start with an educational system that's founded in atheism, which is socialism, which is communism, it's just a step along the way. What else would you expect to get except what we now have? And I just think it's so funny, you know, all this rearranging chairs on a ship that's going down. What should we do about this? And what should we do about that? And iPads and blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, gosh, you know, when we are no longer focused on God in education, some divinity, some higher power, you know, the Greeks didn't believe in Christ, but they were focused on a deity, on a higher power. When we don't do that anymore, we're super lost. I mean, it's just, like I said, rearranging chairs on a ship that's going down. Okay, so I wanted to talk to you a little bit tonight, and that's my spiel on that book, which I've gotten about, oh, it looks like halfway through. So as I read the rest of it, I'll tell you more about that. But what I wanted to talk to you tonight about is what I've found out about the way that schools are run. And it's so disheartening to me. But I've spent some time talking to some people who are in the school system, and I think I get it now. I think I get the problem. Schools are run, well, okay, so schools used to be run by teachers, and principals, by and large, were people who had taught for a long period of time and had been promoted, or had been coaches for a long period of time and been promoted, and so there was a lot of team effort going on. Now, basically what's happening is principals are people who've taught for a couple of years and gone and gotten an advanced degree because it's a career thing. It's like, I want more money. And I know this is true because I went to Sunday school with a guy who's my age, who's a principal. And I'm thinking, gosh, you know, our principals were all like 60. How did you get in this position? I didn't ever ask him, but now I get it. I mean, that's clearly what he did. There's no way he could have taught 20 years because he's my age. Well, I guess technically he could have, but I don't think he did. This is all about career moves. And as I'm looking at all this and I'm hearing about the politics of our local school board and I'm hearing about the reasons why people are on the school board. So, okay, so let me just say this. It struck me that our local school board doesn't have any teachers on it. Like there's all these men on the school board, but they're not teachers. And I'm thinking, well, what are they doing on the school board? I mean, why do they care? Like, why do they have any vested interest in the school board? And then somebody said to me, well, they all have sons in high school. Oh, click. Football, basketball, baseball. We got a lot of kids trying out for teams and not very many spots. Gotcha. I've never heard of anything so self-serving in my life. And yeah, I guess I'm idealistic because to me, okay, sports are, I know I'm in Texas, they're somewhat ridiculous because they don't really have much to do with education. They should. It should be about character development and discipline, but you know, that's not what it's about in Texas or probably any other southern state or any northern state. I mean, it's about sports. So anyway, so that's who you've got running things. And then they hire a superintendent who is on the fast track also and hasn't taught for 20 years. And it's just all becoming pretty apparent. It's like teachers aren't in charge of anything. Kids are getting just absolutely reamed just because nobody, I mean, it's not even about education. These principals and administrators, they go get advanced degrees in, quote, education, but really what they're getting degrees in is like systems management and behavioral science. Nothing about teaching. Know nothing about teaching. Don't care about teaching. And because of that, it becomes more and more controlling because you've got people who are supposed to be experts in management, not experts in teaching. And so, yeah, you can be the teacher, but you're now beneath me because I've never walked in your shoes and I'm going to start telling you how you can be managed. I mean, it's really, really gross. Anyway, so that's kind of the system that we've got going on. And I have heard rumors about my local superintendent that he's kind of a not fun kind of guy. It's obvious to me that he is not a good listener because I'm hearing complaints from parents and I don't think anything's really being done. It seems like they're being glossed over. So that's my opinion on him. But really, really shocking to me the way things work. I know it shouldn't be, but it is. And I just want to, you know, really want to make parents aware. The people on the school board and your superintendent and probably even your principal don't know what they're doing. They've never really taught and they don't give up about your kids. Okay? Let me repeat that. The people running your schools don't give a rip about your kids. They don't care. They care about getting a paycheck and climbing a career ladder. Okay, well, that being said, I have to, you know, stop for a second and say, that's a little harsh. And the principal that was in my Sunday school class clearly did care about his kids and really had a connection with his kids. So I am speaking in general terms and I'm speaking as an outsider and I'm going on what I hear. However, I will say this to me, the point of education is to educate children. To me, if we're not doing that as well as we were 100 years ago, we're just insanely dumb. because we are not going back and saying, now, wait a minute. We had higher literacy. We had better, you know, more proficient mathematics. What was going on? Like, what do we need to go back and change? But nobody's doing that. So, yeah, you may love the kids, and yeah, you may really enjoy a good repertoire with them, but are you helping them academically? Because newsflash, that's your job. You're not the parent. You're not supposed to hold their hand and walk them through life. You're supposed to give them an education that helps them come out on the other side, equipped in their life to do whatever they want to do, whether it's some vocation where they're a welder, or whether they want to go to college, or whether they want to become president, or whatever. You should equip those kids with the same good liberal arts education that helps them think and analyze the world critically, and not in that weird progressive socialist way that they keep talking about in actuality. And, you know, maybe the problem with these people is like they went through their own educational system, so they can't actually think about anything anymore in a way that makes any sense. Perhaps that's it. And perhaps the reason why I can actually think about things is I did go through at least some liberal arts and was able to like look at humanity as humanity. But anyway, so while I do give a nod to people who love and care about kids, it's sort of like me saying, I love and care about you. Now I'm going to tie a rock to your feet and throw you in the lake. But I really love you. Yeah, that's not helping. So that's kind of my take on that. All right, well, this is a short podcast tonight. I just wanted to get all that kind of off my chest, give you a heads up on this book, let you know about the new blog page. And it has a link on there to lots of all these free articles and books and things I've told you about. It's got links on there to videos. I did a couple of video podcasts. It's got links on there to that. I've got links to this podcast on there. And so it's a lot of stuff. So go check it out if you would. It's backtoschoolamerica.blogspot.com. And that's it for me. I will talk to you soon. Thanks. Bye-bye. The new boy.